This is an Artist Journey podcast, the podcast for people thriving and creating as artists. I'm your host, Malcolm Dewey, and let's begin. Hi, and welcome to episode 36 of an Artist Journey podcast. It's good to be back again and chatting to you about art and creativity. Well, the year is really flying by already, and a couple of months into 2019. And I've been particularly busy with the launch of my art coaching program, which, as you may be aware, is a six-month coaching program where I work with artists online, one-to-one coaching, and some offline mentoring and coaching as well. That's now in its second month, and the next enrollment will be for the June-July period this year. Small groups of artists, and I take time out with them each month. Something I really enjoy. Keeps me on my toes, and also I think the direct communication with other artists out there makes a huge difference, and certainly takes the painting course further. Other than that, it's been keeping up with new paintings, a few exhibitions, and finding time in between for a bit of time out and to work on new art. It's a good time as well, I think, to pause and for me to consider a few things about how I really got started in painting professionally. I've been working with art really throughout my life. My first recollection of creating a piece of art, I think I was 6 years old, and it's still fresh in my mind today. And it's been like that throughout school years and beyond, even when I have pursued other diversions over the years. And it's made me also, as I said, pause, look back on that and think a little a bit about it, because I know there are a lot of people who are exploring their creative side but don't believe that it is viable as a way to make a living. And each person has to look at their own lives. It's easy to just make a glib reply and say, yes, of course you can make a living as an artist. I don't know how each person is going to pursue their career decision. It's difficult to give advice and say, yes, you must do this or you must do that. But maybe a little bit of background from my side might be of some help. I've also looked at some of the stories I've written in my book, 52 Weeks of Creative Living, and I thought I would work from that and might just help to give a different viewpoint on a few things about pursuing a creative life as a way of making a living or supplementing a current career. It makes me realize that there are distinct life stages that we all have to go through. In my case, I'd say the 20s. When I was in my 20s, I was pretty much dirt poor, also in debt, but also happy. That sounds obviously strange. 30 years later or so, and saying that, you'd think you can't be in debt, you can't be poor and be happy. But when you're in your 20s, that's par for the course, and you have so much to look forward to. You're also quite brave, I think. Definitely a lot braver than 30 years later in general. That's the way it seems to be. So what would be starting a new year back then in my 20s? Probably a bit of overindulgence, seeing out the old year and taking a couple of days to rest, get back on track and then go to work. Business would normally kick off about a week into new year, and it would be off to my job. That was quite easy. I did other things in my 20s as well, like get married, start a family. Those were good times. Anyway, as far as I can remember, there were a few tough moments as well. Sometimes having a bit of extra money can be really helpful. One thing that does stick in my mind though is that in my 20s, in those circumstances, it was a fun time. I really enjoyed it. In my 30s, I started taking a bit of strain. 30 is a difficult decade. I felt that I was in the rat race and I had to really knuckle down and do things to make a secure future for myself, my family, and no longer time to mess around. It was time to get to work. Also, still being quite young and naive, I made a lot of mistakes, got into business, perhaps with people I shouldn't have been in business with, went down different roads, tried out things, but still, by the time I had got to the end of my 30s, I had started my own business, and there was definitely a new prospect of things improving. The biggest thing that bothers me with my 30s is that I really have to think hard about what I did in that decade. It sounds odd to say that, of course. Probably a good half of that decade, I was just exhausted. I do remember, thanks to lots of photographs, there were good times with my family. And if I can give one piece of advice, is no matter how hard your professional life may be, try not to sacrifice time with your children, your loved ones. And I can definitely say that I spent as much time as possible with my young family. I'm really grateful for that. Although my children are practically grown up and making their own way, we have a great relationship. So that is one thing. One thing I did get right. And otherwise, a fairly difficult time with lots of mistakes. But then things started to change for the better in the 40s. In my 40s, I realized that a dramatic change was required in my professional life. The connection between creating art and my spirit had to be restored. I'm not an office worker by nature, despite being quite an introverted person. I was not someone who wanted to be behind a desk all the time. My real place was making art, and it's always been that way. And unfortunately, it took me a while to get back on track. But once back on track, things really moved. To cut a long story short, in 2009, I held a small exhibition of paintings. It was at a Christmas fair, and to my shock, even though I was trying basically a new style of painting, more fine art and impressionist, whereas previously I had been very much into graphic design, despite the change, sales were pretty good. I couldn't actually believe that I was now creating paintings, fine art paintings that were selling. I suppose one could say my prices were very low, but I've always had the belief that if your art is good, it's going to sell. It's not just about price. You can put a low price on a bad piece of art, it probably won't sell. So I took a lot of confidence from that at least I was getting some attention. I also started doing things like writing, contributing to a blog. Although back then, blogging was, I suppose, still fairly new. It was just write something, what I'd been up to. No real structure to it, but I found that I enjoyed it. So there were two things going on. More painting with more intention. The intention being to improve my painting as quickly as possible. So I really did focus and studied master painters. Spend a lot of time trying to work out my direction. It's still developing, so it's not something that you do for 2 years and then you've arrived at a particular style. The more you practice, the better you learn techniques, and then your personal style starts coming through a lot quicker. I think a few things to take away from that experience. Number one, it's never too late. That's the good thing about art. You can get back into it even at later stage in life. If physically and mentally you are able to do what you want to do, then you can start a process. Put a process into action. It could be painting 3 times a week for an hour each time. That, in the grand scheme of things, that's quite a little bit of time to commit. Perhaps if you somebody watches TV, you can watch a little bit of less TV and find that time. There are many ways to find 3 hours in a week. And then number 2, focus on one thing that you need to do right now. That is particularly important. For me, it was to try and find a way to develop my sort of loose and impressionist style, that painterly style that I recognized as something that resonated with me. I knew I didn't want to paint like an impressionist. There was no point in trying to copy an impressionist painter. But nevertheless, I didn't want a realist style. I didn't want to paint between the lines. It had to be a certain loose style of painting, and I found a lot of inspiration when I started looking for that. So I had to focus on that one thing, and by identifying a few important mentors, I could learn from them. So these were artists that I found online or in books, and maybe they had some DVDs as well. So I would read them, watch the DVDs over and over and over, and get a sense of what I needed to do, how to place brushstrokes. It doesn't mean I wanted my paintings to look like these artists' paintings. It was simply about getting some overall techniques. Techniques that would help me see what I needed to see. How to see shapes, how to see light, how to see color relationships. These are the important things. Know what you need to do right now to make a big improvement, and forget about all the little distracting things as far as possible. The third thing is, to make these things happen, you need to kick time-wasting habits. Identify them and get rid of them. I've already mentioned television, probably one of the biggest time thieves there is. It led to, eventually, our family cutting cable TV altogether, and we've never looked back. People thought we were crazy to do this. For many working families, the TV is an every night affair. We got rid of it, we saved money, and found an incredible amount of extra time. Even recording this podcast, I'm doing it in the evening when I could be sitting watching something on TV. So that's how it's possible. I think the fourth point is, be patient. Patience and persistence, these are difficult things. Easy words to say, but to put into practice, very, very difficult. It's not an instant thing. You don't flick a switch and suddenly you become patient and persistent. It doesn't work that way. It can be incredibly frustrating and annoying to force yourself to get behind the easel and paint. If you've been doing painting in the morning, why do it in the evening? But if you have a goal and you're working on that one thing, you've got to be persistent. And if your to-do list says 2 hours of painting a day, then you get to it. There are times when it does seem futile. Why spend so much time on painting when people are saying to you things like, paintings are luxury items. Who needs a painting? The economy is bad. People can't afford a painting. Get a real job. You know, if you believe that, then that's the reality for you. If you persist and go contrary to the stream, then that becomes your reality as well. You make it happen. And persistence is all it takes. The vital point here is, patience and persistence make things happen. A fifth suggestion is, read more nonfiction books. Okay, they say leaders are readers. I can't dispute that. For me, although I was very much an educated person, 5 years of university, postgrad degrees, the whole thing, when it came down to being an entrepreneur, no matter what business it is, to be your own business, you need to learn things about real experience. And I found these real experiences reading many books online, ebooks written by people like you and I, who just wrote about their experience about starting a business, marketing, getting things off the ground, little tips and tricks, stuff you don't find in textbooks in a college or university. This is real world stuff. And the only way I could find that was through ebooks. So look out for nonfiction books about what you need to know. And these people who wrote these books were my mentors. I had many, many, many of them. I still look out for new books to keep up to date with trends in entrepreneurship. So keep learning. Constantly keep learning. Learn about your art, learn about your business, and you'll do well. You'll also be really energized and be the master of your life, master of the rewards that come your way. You create your own rewards. You don't have to wait for somebody else to give you a raise or a certificate or pat on the back. You're creating this for yourself. I think that's incredibly fulfilling and a great way to spend your life. Things are possible. They just take that patience, that persistence. You're going to make mistakes. Mistakes are also an indication that you're doing something correct. What are you doing correct when you make a mistake? Well, you're taking action. You're trying things. That is what you're doing correct. Keep doing that and then learn from your mistakes and you'll start following a path to some serious achievement. That's more or less summed up is my experiences kicking off as an artist and working that now for the past 10 years. If you are thinking about it, then start taking steps. Start putting things into place. One step at a time and things start happening. Okay, I think that's it on that. But if you are wanting to learn a bit more about your painting, visit my website at malcolmdeweyfineart.com. Have a look at the painting courses. There are a couple of new courses there as well. Try one of those out for yourself. You can also find some of my lessons on Skillshare. Just look for Malcolm Dewey on Skillshare, and there are a number of short courses there as well. If you're interested in the art coaching program, just visit my website as well. Look up personal instruction page and send me a note. Let me know you're interested, and you'll be the first to find out when enrollment opens again in the middle of 2019. I hope you have a creative week ahead, and until we meet again, happy painting.